that I was saved. I was born again. I was at Victory Baptist Youth Camp, and July the 9th, 2013, the Lord came by my way. I'd been under conviction for a few years, knew I needed to be saved, but I kept rejecting the Lord and putting it off. And then on that day, of course, like I said, the Lord had been dealing with me. Now, I knew I needed to be saved, but that day I saw my sin different than I'd ever seen it before. I knew I was lost, and I knew that the only help that I could have was through Jesus. And I trusted in Him, repented of my sins, and turned to Him. And He saved me, changed my life, and gave me a desire to do something for Him. Not long after I got saved, God called me to preach, and I began to preach whenever I had the opportunity. And then in 2016, I got the privilege to go to Colombia, South America, with a few men from our church. Got to go down there helping out a missionary. And while I was there, seeing the field, God laid a burden on my heart for the mission field. I didn't really have a desire to go to the mission field, but the Lord had other plans, and He began to work in my heart. When I got back, I was reading a book called The Challenge of Missions. And it talked about several countries and unreached people around the world. And it mentioned Peru specifically, about the unreached people there in Peru. Over 3 million people that had never had any opportunity to hear the gospel at all. And the Lord just kind of stuck that in my heart, and I began to pray about it. I asked the Lord what He wanted me to do, where He wanted me to go, and what His will was. And after several months of praying, the Lord confirmed He called me to go there to Peru, preach the gospel to those people. There's a great need there. Really, all around the world, there's a great need for the gospel to be preached. God's given us a command as Christians. He said over there in Mark chapter 16, He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And there's a need. There's Bible said the fields are wide already to harvest. They're ripe. They're ready to hear if somebody could only tell them. And that's my desire, is to go and tell them what my Savior's done for me and what He is able and willing and ready to do for them. God, the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And, you know, He said God is not willing that any should perish, but I wonder if we as Christians are willing. I wonder if we would be willing to let some perish because of our laziness, maybe. Maybe just because we are not doing exactly what the Lord may want us to do. I don't know, but would we be willing that some would perish? God's not willing, but are we? There's a need, and we've got a command. And I thank the Lord, it's a privilege to be able to go, tell somebody that's never heard. Amen. About the greatest love, about the greatest Savior, about the greatest book, about the greatest salvation, about eternal life, about heaven, about hell, about sin, about salvation, about what God has done for us, to be able to tell somebody that's never heard. Amen. What a privilege, what an honor it is to be able to serve the Lord, to be able to go and preach the gospel, whether it's here or whether it's in another country or wherever it might be. It's a great privilege, and I thank the Lord for allowing me to have a small part. I'm not worthy. I am nothing, really, but thank the Lord He chooses to use us. What an honor. Thank the Lord for that. But I've been on deputation about 2 years now, just a little less than 2 years. So I'm about 75% supported. So Lord willing, I'll be headed down that way in the springtime of next year. So y'all pray about that. Pray that the Lord would get me there in His time, that He'd use me for His glory, that a work could be accomplished there in Peru, that souls could be saved, that the Lord would be glorified. I can go down there and do what missionaries are supposed to do, or whatever you might say, and maybe something could be accomplished, but really without the prayers of God's people, without the Lord doing the work, there's not much going to be accomplished. And so I desperately need your prayers. If there's one thing that I would need, is your prayers for God's people to be praying that He would use me, that souls would be saved, that God's will would be done. And with that God can be glorified, and a great work can be done if God has His way. And I appreciate y'all having me. It's an honor, privilege to be here. Thank you, brother, for allowing me to come and take some time to share what God has laid on my heart. Do you want me to sing or anything else, or you want me to just go ahead and... Whatever, I can do whatever you want. Okay. Yes, sir. Well, if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and be turning to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Thank the Lord for the Word of God. What a blessing it is. I don't know what it's like to not be able to go and open up my Bible and read about the Lord, about my Savior, read about the goodness of God. But there's so many people around the world that don't have that opportunity. So many of them are not saved to start with, but even if they are, a lot of them don't have a Bible. And how sad it is that we here in America have 20 of them sitting on the shelf at home, and there's millions and millions of people that don't have even a New Testament, much less a whole Bible. But thank the Lord for His Word. God said over there in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible said that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's the greatest book that's ever been written. And thank the Lord that we can have it freely still here in this country. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you can and you're able, if you would stand as we read the Word of God, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll start reading in verse number 15. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15. The Bible says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Let's pray, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings tonight. Thank you for another opportunity to be in your house. Thank you for the people that are here, Lord. Thank you for this church, and thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege we have to meet with you, to hear from you, Lord. I pray you'd help us tonight to focus in on your word and your will and your way. Lord, help us to be obedient to what you'd have for us to do. Lord, if there's one here that's not saved, I pray you'd help them be saved. And, Lord, for us as Christians, I pray you'd help us to be drawn closer to you. Thank you for what you've done already and what you're going to do. Be with us now and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. Here in 1 Corinthians, or 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we read about the rapture, what we call the rapture. Now, the word rapture is not in the Bible, but that's what we call it. Talking about the coming of the Lord, when Jesus is going to come back and take us as Christians, as believers, to heaven with Him. And thinking about the rapture, thinking about Jesus coming back, I think about the question, are you ready? Are you ready for the rapture? If Jesus was to come back tonight, if He was to come back before the service is out, or if you were in bed tonight and He was to come back, are you ready? Would you be ready for the rapture? Do you know for sure? What we think about being ready for the rapture, and automatically our minds go to salvation. And we think about that. And that is that's the first step, the most important thing. If you're not saved tonight, you're definitely not ready for the rapture. If you've never been born again, if you never trusted the Lord as your Savior, repented of your sins and turned to Him, you're not ready for the rapture. But there's also, for us as Christians, for us that are saved, there's also some things that we need to be ready in, to be prepared for the rapture, to be ready for Jesus to come. There's some things that we're going to have to do to be ready, to be prepared. And I want to look at that tonight, just a few things that we, in general, whether you're saved or lost, that we need to do in order to be ready for the rapture. how important it is. The Bible says, no man knoweth the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. The Lord could come back tonight. He could come back in 15 minutes from now. He could come back maybe 15 years from now. I don't know exactly when it's going to be. I just know He's coming. And I know that we need to be ready. And I hope that we are tonight. But I want us to look, to examine ourselves, to look in the Word of God and to see, make sure that we're ready for the rapture. First of all, if the Lord was to come back tonight, are you ready in salvation? Are you saved? That, like I said, it's the number one, the first step. In order to be ready for the rapture, you're going to have to be saved. You're going to have to be born again. The Bible said over there in John chapter 3, Jesus said to Nicodemus, He said, you must be born again. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. There's no way around it. If you're going to make it to heaven, if you're going to be ready for the rapture, you're going to have to be born again. Be saved. To know that Jesus has saved you. The Bible said over there in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, He said, these things have been written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know that you're saved, that you've been born again according to the Word of God, not according to your feelings, not because you've been faithful to church, not because you've been baptized, not because you're a good person, not because you're a member of the church or anything like that, not because you've given your money in the offering plate, but simply because you've trusted in the Lord. And He's washed you in the blood, and you've been born again by the blood of the Lamb, saved, pardoned, forgiven. Then and only then will you be ready for the rapture, or can you be ready for the rapture. If you're not saved tonight, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. He said in Isaiah, He said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. He said, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What a blessing it is that you still got an opportunity right now. You may not tomorrow. You may not next Sunday. You may not 30 minutes from now. But you got an opportunity right now. And if you're not saved tonight, it'd be wise to get it settled. Not to turn over a new leaf or to decide to do better or to whatever, but to repent of your sins and trust the Lord as your Savior. Tonight is the night. If you're not saved, you're not ready for the rapture. First of all, salvation. The number one, the first step to be ready for the rapture. Salvation. Then number two, after salvation, once you've been saved, if you're here tonight and you know you're saved, after the second step to be ready for the rapture, second thing is submission. First of all, salvation, then submission. As Christians, it's our job to be, it should be our goal to be submitted to God. Over in James chapter 4, in verse 7, the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. He said, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Verse 10, he said, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. To be submitted to God. It's God's will that we be submitted to him, that we be obedient, that we submit ourselves to God. And when we talk about submission, That means to lay it all aside, to lay it all down. Say, Lord, here's my life, here's my belongings, here's myself, everything that I have, everything that I've ever done or everything that ever will do, here it is, Lord. It's yours to be submitted. Not that He's going to take it all away, but that whatever it may be, that it'll be used for His glory. He'll have His will and way with our life and everything that we have, to be submitted, for God to be in control of every aspect of our life, to be submitted to Him. Should be our desire as Christians to be submitted. If we're going to be ready for the rapture, we're going to have to be submitted to God. Submitted in the way we talk, the things we say. When we're out in the world and people are listening, to be submitted to God, to say the things that would glorify God and please God. When we're in church, even wherever we might be, to the way we talk, to be submitted to God in the way we talk, the way we act, the way we dress, to be submitted to God, whatever God would want for us to dress, to glorify Him, to be doing what He would have us to do, in our the way we talk, the way we dress, the music we listen to. To glorify God, to be submitted to God in the music that we listen to. God does care about it.
Yes, sir.
You can study the Bible and you can find that out. To be submitted to God. Would we, just the three things that I mentioned so far, if the Lord was to come back tonight, would we be ready for the rapture when it comes to submission? I'm preaching to myself just as much as anybody. I'm not just saying that, hey, you need to do this or that. I'm just saying, would we be ready? Would we be submitted to God like we should be in whatever area it might be? What about your tithe? Have you given what God has asked you to give? Are you submitted to God when it comes to your money? Not that that's the only thing that matters. Preachers like to preach on that. I'm not. But it's important. God's given us a command. What about witnessing, telling other people about the Lord? Are you submitted to God? God said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's a command for every Christian. For right here in Powder Springs or in Peru or wherever it might be, it's a command for every Christian to tell the world about our Savior. Are we submitted to God in that? Are we submitted to God in the places we go? Maybe not necessarily bad places, but does God want us to go there? Is that where God wants us to go? Are we going where God wants, when we go to whatever place it might be, are the places we go and according to God's will? Are we submitted to God? Just trying to get us to think tonight, to examine ourselves. Are we ready for the rapture? Are you saved, first of all? Salvation is a first step. And then submission, to be submitted to God. Are we ready for the rapture in our submission? But then, number three, in our sanctification. Once we've been saved, that word sanctification means to be set aside, to be set apart for the glory of God, to be set aside for His service. When God saved you, He gave you a job to do. Some, it might be to stand behind a pulpit and preach. Some, it might be to play a piano or whatever it might be, to play an instrument. Some it might be to clean the church. Some it might be to go and do street ministry or prison ministry or something like that. Some it might be to teach Sunday school or whatever, drive a van or a bus or something like that. But are we sanctified? Are we set aside for the glory of God? And not only in the jobs that we do, but in the way that we live, are we sanctified? Are we separated? The Bible talks about separation. He said, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. He said, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. To be sanctified, to be separated, to be set aside for the glory of God. Will we be ready for the rapture? If the Lord was to come back tonight, would we be ready when it comes to sanctification? Over there in 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse number 20, the Bible says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So he said, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. He said a sanctified vessel. We, thinking about that, this is kind of a, I don't know if it's a good illustration, but some of you ladies that you know, you're cooking and you have some leftovers after you get done eating, and you got the containers. If you have a big pot of chili and you only ate one bowl out of it, you're going to have to get a pretty big container to put your leftover chili in. Whereas if you have just one bowl of chili, you might get a small container. So that container is sanctified for this amount of chili or that amount of chili. And God has sanctified us for certain jobs. He desires to sanctify us for certain jobs, whatever he may have for us, whatever he's prepared us for. He desires to sanctify us for that, set us aside for that special use, a use that maybe he couldn't use somebody else for. And he desires to sanctify us, each one of us. But tonight, are we sanctified? Are we allowing God to prepare us for what he has for us, to set us aside to the place that we should be, that we need to be to do what he has for us to do? Are we ready when it comes to sanctification? Back there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and verse 2, or verse 3, I'm sorry, where our text chapter, but another verse there in verse 3, the Bible says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." He said that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. He said it's the will of God for every one of us as Christians. It's the will of God that we be sanctified, that we be set aside. It's God's will. That's not just a good idea. It's not just what the preacher says, but it's God's will. He said, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Are we ready tonight? Or would we be ready if the Lord was to come? Would we be ready when it comes to sanctification? Are we set aside? Are we separated for God's use? Are we letting the world use us? Are we letting our own self use, do we use ourselves instead of letting God use us? Are we sanctified? First of all, salvation. Number two, submission. Number three, sanctification. Then number four, supplication. Are we ready for the rapture when it comes to supplication? Supplication means prayer, but more than just, "Lord, thank you for the food, amen." It means more than just praying, but it means, over in James chapter 5, he talks about that effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. He said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that effectual fervent prayer, that would line up with supplication. Serious prayer. When we get serious about getting a hold of God, when there's a need and we cry out, we say, "Lord, my family member, whoever it is sick, and I can't do anything about it. The doctors say there's no hope. What can I do? Lord, please help me." When we get serious about prayer, when we cry out to God, begging God, realizing that we can do nothing about it, and just trusting Him with it. Supplication, that effectual, fervent prayer. When we get serious with our prayer life, how are we tonight when it comes to supplication? Are we ready for the rapture? Would we be, if the Lord came back tonight, would we be, I don't know if this would be the word to say, but caught up in our prayer life, if you want to use that term? Would our prayer life be right if the Lord was to come back tonight? Our supplication, would we be good as far as that goes? I fail so much in this area, and I'm ashamed to say it, but supplication. Are we ready for the rapture when it comes to supplication? Our prayer life. Praying for sinners. Amen. Praying for the church. Praying for the pastor. Praying for the needy people in the church, whether it's sick or whatever it might be. Things in the church. Praying for our country. I believe our country is in bad condition tonight, but if God's people 100 years ago would have prayed for our country like they should have, some probably did, but I'd say a majority probably didn't. If they would have, I believe our country would be better off tonight. If the Lord tarries is coming, and we continue to pray for our country like we have, how will it be in another 50 years? Maybe we should get more serious about praying for our country. Maybe praying for our church, praying for missionaries, praying for our families, that God would save them, that God would help them. Young people are leaving the churches by the droves. And I believe part of the reason is because parents and grandparents even have failed to pray, to get serious about the prayer life, the supplication. How are we tonight when it comes to supplication? Are we ready? Would we be ready for the rapture? If the Lord came back tonight and He looked at our prayer life, if He put a list on the wall of our prayer life and what we prayed for, would we be ashamed, or would we not be ashamed? Would it be okay when it comes to supplication, when it comes to our prayer life? Are we ready for the rapture? Number one, in salvation. Number two, in submission. Number three, in sanctification. Number four, supplication. But then last of all, number five, in service. Our service to the Lord. Are we ready for the rapture when it comes to our service to the Lord? Are we serving Him like we should? Whether it's in the church, whether it's just serving Him as far as preaching the gospel out in the world, or whatever it might be. Serving the Lord, what a privilege it is to be able to serve the Lord, to be able to come, even just to be able to vacuum the floor, pick up trash off the floor of the church, to be able to go clean the bathroom. It's an honor. The house of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, allows us to serve Him. What a privilege it is. How are we tonight when it comes to our service? Are we sitting back? Are we sitting back in the pew and listening to the preacher preach? Watching the world go by? Watching people go to hell while we don't hardly do anything? Or are we doing all we can? I heard a preacher say this, and I would agree. I want to do all I can while I can, so that when I can't do it anymore, I won't wish I could have, or wish I would have while I could have. I desire to do all I can for my Savior while I have the opportunity to serve Him. I falter and I fail and I'm ashamed of it, but I want to do my best to serve Him. The Bible said over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 58, He said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." He said, "Be steadfast, unmovable." He said, "Always abounding in the work of the Lord." That word abounding means to be growing, to be getting more and more, to be serving God more, to be doing more for God. Every day that goes by, we should be looking to do something more for God. You say, "I'm tired." Yeah, I get that way too. But let's do all we can. Keep on serving the Lord. Keep on going for God. We don't have much time. The Bible said that Satan's come down having great wrath, knowing that he hath but a short time. And if the devil knows he has a short time, think about this. Say, if the Lord, that was wrote 2,000 years ago, approximately, that the devil knows he has but a short time. If at that time, 2,000 years ago, the devil knew that he hath but a short, had but a short time, how much more, say the Lord's coming is 500 years away, how much shorter of a time do we have? We only have 70, 80 years of a lifespan, maybe 90 at the most, pretty much. He's had 2,000 already, and he knew that he had a short time. So why should we not be doing all we can, going all we can, giving all we can to the Lord, serving Him with all our might, to glorify Him, to honor Him, to see souls saved, to do a work for the Lord, to serve Him, to do all we can while we got the opportunity. We don't have much time. I don't believe it's possible that the Lord's coming could be 500 years away, but I don't think it is. I believe it's pretty close. I believe it's within a few years at the most. Probably, possibly within a few days, or within a few minutes even. I don't know. But would you be ready? Are you ready? God's given us an opportunity tonight to get ready if you're not. First of all, are you saved? You know for sure, without any shadow of a doubt, that you've been born again, that you're saved. people say, I'm not saved, but if the rapture happens, I see all the Christians or the believers have gone, and I'm here still, if I'm not saved, then I'll get saved afterwards. People say that. But according to the Bible, God said that the ones that's left behind, if you've heard the gospel, he said he'll send you strong delusion that you should believe a lie because you had no love for the truth. You believe the lie, you won't be able to be saved because God will send you a strong delusion. So now is the time. You got an opportunity tonight to get saved. God's been merciful to allow you another opportunity. Today is the day of salvation. If you're not saved, it's time to get ready for the rapture and salvation. But then us as Christians, are we ready in submission? Are we ready in sanctification? Are we ready in supplication? Are we ready in our service? Are we serving the Lord like we ought to? Are we ready for the rapture? He's coming soon. Maybe tonight. Maybe sometime this week. I don't know when it's going to be. But it's going to be soon. And when he does come, are we going to be ashamed? One preacher illustrated it this way. He said, when the Lord comes in the judgment, at the judgment seat, he said, we can either have a crown from doing what God has asked us to do, serving him and living for him. We can have a crown to give to the Lord. According to what the Bible says, he said, our works will be tried by fire. Some will be gold, silver, and precious stones, and the fire only purifies that. But then other works will be wood, hay, and stubble, and that's going to be burned up. So if our works are burned up, if we don't have a crown to give to the Lord on Judgment Day, all we'll have is just a handful of ashes. And with what we've done, think about this. With what we've done already in our life, will we have a crown to give to the Lord for what he's done for us to glorify him? Or will we just have a handful of ashes? Are we ready for the rapture? We can't make up, or we can't go back in time and redo mistakes, but we can get right tonight and do what God has asked us to do tonight. He's given us an opportunity tonight to get ready, to be ready, to be prepared when he comes back. Are you ready for the rapture tonight? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your love and mercy. And thank you, Lord, for another opportunity that you've given us. Lord, wherever we've failed you, wherever we're not right, wherever we may not be ready for the rapture, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to get it right tonight. Cleanse us and help us to draw closer to you. Lord, if there's one here that's not saved, I pray that you'd send strong conviction on that soul, that sinner. Help them to see their need for a Savior and turn to you and repent of their sins and be saved before it's too late. Lord, I pray that you'd have your will and way in every heart and life tonight. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name.
With that tonight, say amen. Amen. Give a round of applause for Brother Townsend. Yeah, we appreciate you coming our way, brother. And if you don't know, we did make mention of it a while back, but here at Calvary, we started supporting Brother Townsend and his ministry, and we're just thrilled to do so. Be behind you as you get ready to launch out into the deep. And I did want to mention this, that Brother Townsend has a table out here. So if you would, on your way out, just go by and take a look. I believe he has some brochures or whatnot there for you. And it'd be a good time to get acquainted with him for a few minutes and talk to him personally. Maybe that'd be good. But we appreciate you being here tonight. Things are a little different today. And, of course, Brother Allen, again, being home and trying to get better, and just had several out tonight. And so we doing all we can while we can. That statement, that didn't come from Stennett Ballou, did it? You know who Brother Stennett is? You're from Tennessee, right? Yeah. I heard Brother Stennett say that same statement. I wrote it down. I've used it in sermons before. I love that statement. Do all you can while you can. And because there may come a time when you can't do anything. And so just do all you can now. Anybody got anything to mention before we close? We'll go ahead and conclude service tonight. Brother Jeff? Okay. What's up to you, brother? All right. Okay. Yeah, grab your banjo and come on up and give us a little conclusion to the service here. And you ain't got to play long, just a little number. I enjoy hearing the banjo, don't y'all? It's different. Close. All right, it's been a good day today, and everyone just be safe this evening going home. Pray you have a great week this week. Tell somebody about the Lord, and the Lord willing, we'll see you back on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, and of course Sunday morning, Sunday school at 10 o'clock. All right. Brother Jeff, would you close us out in prayer?